Hey, man. Well, it's exciting to be on this call with you guys. Great to see you all. And I love these Zoom calls better than pre-recorded stuff, so we can chat and see each other's faces live. And I think it's a good time together. But, you know, so exciting to see Chris get baptized and, you know, see him become a disciple in the midst of this situation going on. Is Chris back now? Are you there, Chris? It looks like you're there. You know, that was super encouraging today. And, you know, God willing, we'll see a lot more people become Christians. I'm excited for this Devo next Friday. One of the things I'm working on is collecting how many people have been baptized in campus ministry throughout the world since this has started. And I think it'll be really cool to hear the good news of what God's been doing on that front. Obviously, this is a really challenging, sad, difficult thing we're going through, and yet even in the midst of that, God is working, and he's teaching us, and he's wanting to use us. And you know, I'm excited to talk with you guys a little bit tonight about how God can use us. And so if you can get your Bibles out, I got a good chunk of passages I want to read through together that I think are really important for us to really write on our heart at this time and to put into practice in our lives. I'm going to have Matt Ruper is going to be hooking us up on the chat box with copying and pasting the passages so you can follow along there. But if you could have your own Bible open in front of you, that would be great too. You know, I just want to shout out Mark again. You did a phenomenal job last week. I love the passage you picked and calling us to make the most of every opportunity and really knowing what God's will is. And I thought it was great to go to Thessalonians to see some of what God's will for our life is, but there's even more to it of what God wants from us. And so I just want to read Ephesians 5 again one more time at the start of this. But in Ephesians 5 verse 15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." You know, so we're really, right now, we're supposed to be making the most of this opportunity. And there's a lot of different ways that we can view this situation. And my encouragement to you is to view it as an opportunity, right? It's a lot of other things, but one thing it also is an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for us to do the will of God. And obviously, we can do the will of God by how we live in our homes right now, right? Our righteousness, our closeness to him, our love for one another, our devotion to each other. But there's more to God's will than that. And one of the biggest things on God's heart, if you were to ask God, "God, what is your will? What do you want?" Well, possibly the thing God wants more than anything else is for us to be forgiven of our sins and to be right with him, and for as many of his lost sons and daughters to do that as possible. You know, the whole gospel, Jesus dying on the cross for our sin, the whole gospel message is about that. It's about Jesus saving men, saving mankind. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." You know, two things I want to point out from this passage quick. One is that we're called as disciples to be praying. We got to be making requests and interceding. We got to be praying for the people in authority right now. You know, be praying for the politicians, the doctors, you know, the police department. We got to be praying for people in authority, that they would really have wisdom, that God would guide them, that God would work through them to help bring peace to this pandemic. And so if you've not been praying for those people, pray for our president, pray for our politicians, pray for the people making decisions, pray for other countries' leaders and politicians. Well, we got to be praying for our authorities. But secondly, it says that what God wants is all men to be saved. And so as we make the most of this opportunity and we're thinking, well, what does God want? One of the things he wants the most is for all men to be saved. And so if you were to look at this crisis right now, if you were to look at this situation going on, you would say, God, what do you want to come of this? What do you want to come out of this? I think there's probably a lot of things God is trying to do through this, ways that he's helping the environment, helping crumble things that people put security in that they shouldn't, help to maybe stop certain decisions or wars or things that might have happened if this wasn't going on. God could be working to soften people's hearts, to bring unity across nations. But I think one thing from the Bible we can know is, well, God, what's one thing you want from this situation is for people to be saved. He wants people to come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that he loves them. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for them. And he's calling them to come follow him, that they could repent of their sin, be baptized, and become disciples so that they could spend eternity, not in this fallen world, but in a new recreated world in heaven with God forever. That's the knowledge of the truth that God wants everybody to know. And we all know it. We got to learn that truth, but now we've got to bring that truth to other people. And that's what God is calling us to do. You know, a passage that has inspired me is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 7 to 9. And so Paul is in Ephesus, and he's writing this letter to the disciples in Corinth. And he wants to come visit them, but he doesn't right away. And here's why. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 7 to 9. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. You know, you could read about Paul's time in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. The whole chapter is him in Ephesus. But you see Paul here saying, look, I hope to come spend some time with you soon. And that's how we feel right now. We can't wait for this quarantine to be lifted, for this virus to be halted, so we can get back to seeing each other, so we can get back to normal life. And we're eager for that. And certainly Paul was eager to go see the church in Corinth. He was eager to go be somewhere that he couldn't be at the time or even had the ability to be there. You know, but what I see in Paul here is that where he wanted to be mattered less than what he wanted to do. He wanted to be there in Corinth, but what he wanted even more than that was to help more people become Christians. And so what he wanted to do was even stronger on his heart than where he wanted to be. And so we want to be different places right now. If you're anything like me, you're sick of being in your house. You want to be somewhere else. But more than we want to be somewhere else, we need to want to do what we're called to do. And because of the technology we have, we can do what we're called to do even in this situation in an incredible way. You know, the title of my lesson here is from this passage, A Great Door for Effective Work Has Opened. And if there's anything you could have in your head after this message tonight is that, please remember that as you view this whole situation, that one way to view it, one thing to have on your mind is, okay, a great door for effective work has opened. And what work is that? It's the work of the mission, of bringing the knowledge of truth to as many other people as possible. Now, I really think that this is true of the coronavirus. I think that through this situation, I do believe a great door for effective work has been opened. I think there's ways that we can be effective in the mission right now than we couldn't have been 2 months ago or even a month ago. I think God is opening a door here that we've got to go through. And honestly, I decided I wanted to do the whole lesson about the mission tonight because I think it's that important for us to be focused on that all the time, but especially right now. And I really don't think it would do God's will justice for the mission to go and make disciples to just be a side thought in all the lessons we have over these next few weeks. Oh yeah, and by the way, it's a good time to reach out to people. I really think that might be the primary thing God's wanting to see happen through this time. Why has this created a great door for effective work? Well, a few reasons. One is availability. people are super available right now. How many people you reach out to that, like, oh, I got class. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I'm too busy. They're not too busy right now. You know, people are available. There's an extreme door of availability has opened. People are looking for things to do. People are bored. People are going to get stupid. People have already gotten stupid. You know, people are super available. And so we got to take advantage of that. You know, I remember, and this does not compare at all to the situation we're in, but I remember when Hurricane Sandy happened. And that was in many ways a crisis for the tri-state area. People were locked in their houses. Trees had fallen down. You couldn't leave your house. There was mass flooding. And I remember during that time, Mark Persing and I were studying the Bible with one of his friends from school named Gerald. And, you know, during this time, everybody was just kind of bunked up in their house and not going anywhere. But, you know, and Gerald was usually going to school all day. He was a senior in high school, going to school all day, taking classes for college. And so he was busy a lot. And so we would study once a week or whatever. But once Hurricane Sandy hit and classes were canceled, he was super available. And I had to take crazy detours driving to go meet him for a Bible study. Some roads I'd be driving down for a while, and then there would just be a tree in the middle of the road. I'd have to turn around, go back, and then go another way to get to him. But we were able to study the Bible almost every day that week of Hurricane Sandy and baptize him that week. And a lot of why he got baptized that week was because of availability and us taking advantage of the door of opportunity that had opened. And similarly, I think there's a lot of doors of opportunity, of availability opened right now to take advantage of. What are some other reasons that a great door for effective work has opened? I think this situation has caused in people a lot of things that help people see their need for God or see their need for other people in their life, right? People are dealing in new ways with worry, with fear, with stress, with anxiety, with depression. And God is a comforter to those things. He's a source of help to those things. Disciples know how to be comforters to people in those things, or at least we need to learn to be. And so people are going through things that in their normal busy life, they don't really see their need for God. And suddenly they might be stopping now and going, my aunt is sick. Or my neighbor, you know, I haven't been able to leave my house in 2 weeks and I'm getting depression. You know, people might be starting to see, I need help. I need God. And we've got to see that. You know, it's sad to notice, and I read an article about this, that already since this situation, there's been a high increase in the amount of drug and alcohol relapses that people have had. As people are trapped in their house, multiple reasons are causing people to resort to drugs and alcohol at this time. And another really sad thing is, you know, China is a little bit ahead of us with this situation. And one thing they're dealing with is a huge spike of divorces. And so people have been stuck in their house together. They don't know how to love each other. They don't have a good marriage. And they're spending more time with each other than they're used to. And they're divorcing each other. And if you don't think that's going to happen here, that's foolish. It's totally going to happen here. And so that's my harvest field. We got to know people are going to be hurting in their relationships and needing help with that. You know, people are questioning and seeing more clearly how fragile the things that they put security in life in are. Two big ones are health and wealth. People are realizing that health is very fragile. And wealth is very fragile. And those are things that make people not really want God or see their need for God sometimes. Well, I'm healthy. I'm young. I'll have the rest of my life for that. Well, you know, look what one little microbe can do to the health of millions of people in just a short time. People are realizing our health is very fragile, and people are realizing that wealth is fragile as well. You know, in James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, it talks about how our life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Health is uncertain. Health is fragile. People are realizing that, and that's going to help them see, I need to know God. I need to be right with God. And secondly, wealth is fragile and uncertain. If you're seeing anything about the stock markets or any of the stuff that's going on with that, you know, people's job security, people's income, We live in a world that requires us to function in a money-based society and stuff like that. But people put their hope in wealth. People put their value. People put their whole life's ambition in becoming wealthy. And now you've got these guys who have committed their life, lost their marriages, lost their relationships with their kids, have lost so much of their soul building wealth that in an instant, like literally like that, it is just gone. Out of any control of their own, it's gone. And for anybody, even if this didn't happen, the second your life ends, it's gone anyway. You know, that's why the Bible talks about how we shouldn't invest our lives in treasures on earth, because afterwards the moths and rust come and tear it away. And people need to be seeing right now that money is fleeting and it does not satisfy and it's not a reliable foundation for your life. And so health and wealth, I think, are taking a hit right now in a really good way that people are realizing, man, this is not what my life can be based on or what I could get all my security in. And so that's creating a door of opportunity. In this 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19 passage about wealth, it says, wealth is so uncertain and we should not put our hope in it. And then it says, instead of wealth, it says that we should take hold of the life that is truly life. And I love that. I love that as disciples, I get to have life that is truly life, not because of my physical health, not because of my home or my bank account or how much money I have. I get life that is truly life because of an eternal life with Jesus that I get to have, the forgiveness of sins, the security that I get to wake up with every day, that my soul is clean and forgiven by God. That's the life that is truly life. And that's what people need right now. And that's what you have to give them. And that's the most important thing that people need. We have in our hands, we hold the life that is truly life, eternal life. You know, this life here is only kind of life, right? Like we have life here, but it's temporary, it's fragile, it's fickle. But life that is truly life is going to be life without sin, life without sorrow, without sadness, and eternity in heaven. And that's what we have hold of. We have hold of that life. And we want to help other people to not hold on to this life, but to hold on to that life instead. And that's the life that we hold and that we get to hold out to other people as well. You know, I want you to imagine someone right now out there somewhere in the U.S. or in another country, wherever. Imagine right now someone has a cure to the coronavirus. Imagine they have the cure to coronavirus and they use it on themselves. They use it on those in their house. And they're just kind of sitting there with it saying, you know what? If somebody comes and asks me for it, I'm happy to share it with them. If somebody brings it up for me, if it seems like they want it, I'll give them some of it. I'll let them have it. I know they need it, but you know, I feel kind of uncomfortable leaving my house right now to go give it to somebody. You know, I don't really want to pressure somebody into it. If they want it, they can, you know, I'm sure they'll find a way to come get it from me. You know, that would be incredibly selfish and foolish of somebody to do that. And yet that's what we do with the cure to the virus of sin. When we hold it to ourselves and we say, you know what, if somebody brings up God to me, then I'll talk to him about it. If somebody, you know, conveniently comes across my path, then I'll let them know about it. Yeah, I want them to have it. I know they need it, but I'm not going to inconvenience myself. I'm not going to get uncomfortable. I'm not going to step out of my path or what, you know, kind of, I'm living my life. Yeah, I got this. If it works out that I give it to somebody else, great. But if not, at least I got it. At least I'm safe. You know, that is not the heart of Jesus. You know, Jesus left the safety of heaven to embody a weak, fragile man body to suffer for us. He got out of his comfort zone to aggressively go after those who needed it and to give it to us, to give it to them. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You should all know this passage. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the thing, guys. Death has a 100% mortality rate. Sin has a 100% mortality rate. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned. If somebody sins, there's a 100% chance without the intervention of Jesus that death awaits them. Right? And that's what we got the cure for. That's You know, the coronavirus, it's got like a 15% death rate right now, which is terrible. And it's heartbreaking. But we got to realize from the spiritual perspective, sin has a 100% death rate. And not only some people get it, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so right now, everybody needs, and all the time, everybody needs the forgiveness of their sin. We know the virus of sin, and we know the cure to it, and we've got to share it with other people, not just keep it to ourselves. You know, I want to encourage you guys and challenge myself every day to be praying for the doctors, for the workforce, for the healthcare workers, for the people that are leaving their homes to go out so that people that are sick can be taken care of, right? These are people willing to make personal self-sacrifice for other people. And we got to be praying for these people. They're deciding, I'm still going to go do my job so that I can make sure there's food for other people, so I can make sure there's medicine for other people, so I can make sure that there's service for people that need it. Because we got to be praying for these people. But on top of that, we got to realize too that as disciples, we are all also essential workers. And you might not have to leave your house to go do this essential work. You could do it from your house. But you are an essential worker right now. You're an essential worker of the spiritual work that needs to be done, of people finding God and receiving the forgiveness of sins. We got to be workers in the harvest field at this time. You know, what keeps us from this? You know, I don't know what keeps you from it. Maybe you're not being kept from it. And power to you. Thank you for loving the lost at this time. But if that hasn't been a huge part of your life right now, you got to figure out, well, why isn't that? You know, is it that you're being too self-focused in this time? That's like, hey, quarantine, time off for me. What do I want to do? What do I get to do? How do I want to use this time for me? Or are we thinking about others? You know, maybe it's what Mark talked about week, just being idle and being lazy. You know, maybe it's undervaluing it and just not having the heart for it the way that you need to have. You know, maybe you're nervous or you just don't know what to do. You know, and that's something we got to really pray for and help each other with is to figure out, well, what can I do? Or if you're nervous, then team up with somebody and figure out ways you can build courage in each other, encourage each other to go and to reach out to others. You know, I want to go through one other passage a little more quickly here. But I hope you guys are with me. I want you to turn over Philippians chapter 1. The whole month of March, I studied out the book of Philippians. It helped me a lot. So much of it is about finding joy no matter what the circumstances. And that was very timely as the situation came up. But there's a lot about the mission in Philippians as well. And you see that in the heart of Paul. And Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 12 to 14. And so Paul is in this Roman, he's under arrest in Rome, and he's writing this letter to the disciples in Philippi. And there's a really good chance that he might end up having to die. And he does eventually end up being martyred. But he knows there's also some hope, too, that he could be let go. This is at least the third time he'd been in prison. So he's like, hey, God might do something here, right? And so Paul's facing this, and listen to what's on his heart here as he's facing possible death in jail. Philippians 1 verse 12 says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me being arrested has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Jump to verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. You know, I love Paul's perspective. He says, look, here I am in chains right now, but what's happened has really served to advance the gospel. And that's the perspective we can have is, hey, I'm locked up in my house, but maybe this situation can really serve to advance the gospel. And here's some ways that it happened. First of all, is yeah, I'm arrested here, but guess what? There's still people around. There's the guards. There's the servants of Caesar's palace here. There's still, okay, maybe I can't be out preaching in the streets, but I can preach to these guys. I can preach to the guy that comes and delivers the food to me each day. I can preach to, right? There's people around that can listen. And so Paul says, look, now I'm going to help some of these guys become disciples, right? And then him being chained up for whatever reason, it had an influence on the other disciples to say, you know what? I'm going to be even more courageous and more bold and more fearless in my evangelism because I'm looking up to Paul who even got arrested for this. So, man, what am I going to do for God at this time? Am I going to shrink back or am I going to follow him as he follows Christ and speak out courageously as well? You know, I love that these guys were encouraged to speak the word even more courageously and fearlessly at a time like this. And I love that Paul says, look, I might die, and for me that would be gain because I would get to go finally be with God. You know, out of all the reasons people have to fear right now, we have the least reason to fear because for us as disciples, to die is gain. We get to go be with God for eternity. But I love that he says, but look, if I'm going to go on living, to live is Christ. To live is not Paul. It's not Rob's life. It's not Mark's life. It's not Tommy's life. It's not Vinny's life. It's not Elijah's life. It's, right? It's to live is Christ. And so if I'm going to keep living, it's going to mean fruitful labor for me. Paul's like, look, if I'm going to stay around in this situation that is difficult and that I don't want to be in, then it's going to be a fruitful labor. That's what I'm going to make this, a time of working to be fruitful for God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes, I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. You might be quarantined, but the word of God is not quarantined, right? We might not be able to leave our house, but the word of God never comes back empty. Right, we might be chained up in our homes, but the word of God is not chained. The word of God can still bear fruit, change people's lives, give faith to people, and have a tremendous impact while we're in this situation. What's really cool is this short line at the end of Philippians. You know, you get Paul saying, hey, look, this situation I'm in, arrested here, it's really served to advance the gospel. And in the end of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 21, Paul is giving some final greetings. And in verse 21, he says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. There was a couple guys, Epaphroditus, Timothy, who had come to visit Paul. And he's like, hey, these guys say what's up too. They say hi. Verse 22, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Paul was under arrest in with the imperial guard in Caesar's courts, in Caesar's household, right? This was the emperor of all of Rome. This was the most powerful man in the world, right? Part of why Christians in the first century were persecuted so severely is because the Roman emperors demanded that people say Caesar is Lord, but Christians would say, no, Jesus is Lord. And they'd be put to death for that. And it's right in this guy's house, Caesar, that Paul is arrested for preaching the gospel. And now guys that live in Caesar's household, work for him, are becoming disciples. Especially the brothers of Caesar's household send greetings. You know, it's so powerful to see that even while Paul was in this house arrest, he was able to help those that he could still influence become Christians. You know, I read this book this past month called To Live is Christ. It's by Tom and Sheila Jones, disciples in the church in Tennessee. And they listen to this excerpt from this passage that they write. This inspired me a lot. It says, the faith that so unexpectedly began on a Roman cross outside the city of Jerusalem spread across provinces and seas. It moved down those famous Roman roads, jumping from village to village and from city to city. It survived beatings, riots, shipwrecks, and imprisonments. And it made its way to the seat of the imperial power so that right under the nose of the emperor himself were those who said, Jesus is Lord. There's no more incredible story in all the world than the rise and spread of faith in Jesus Christ. It has miracle written all over it. From the birth of Jesus in a stable to the choosing of 12 unlikely world changers, to the ignominious death on the cross, to the conversion of the most fierce of all opponents, to the infiltration of Rome itself by a prisoner of the empire. It is the story of God working the unlikely again and again. It is a story proving that God can accomplish whatever he wants, any way he wants, whenever he wants, using whomever he wants. This should inspire us that no matter what is going on, God can work through us to accomplish what he wants. And what he wants is all men to be saved. You know, there's so many ways that God has opened up a great door for effective work through this situation. And it would be remiss for us to sit back and use this time for ourselves and not say, how can I use this as a great door for effective work? If I'm to be in this situation, it's going to mean fruitful labor for me. I'm going to try to help somebody become a Christian during this time. You know, just some closing quick practicals for you here. I've just got four quick practicals. The first one is characterize yourself as a fisherman. Right? Before you get to doing what you need to do, you need to be who you need to be. You've got to characterize as a fisherman. You've got to own it. You've got to say, Jesus sent me out to fish for men. I am a disciple, which means I am a disciple maker. Just as much as you know the town you live in, the school you go to, your gender, your last name, your age, you need to know I am a disciple maker. I am on the mission. I am a fisherman. You need to characterize as a fisherman. It's who you are. It's on your heart. It's your lifestyle. It's on your mind, right? You've got to characterize, I am a fisherman. And if you own that, if you say, I am a fisherman, then you will be a fisherman. Is that your heart? Are you a fisher of men? Secondly, you've got to cast a wide net, right? You've got to be a fisherman, and then you've got to cast a wide net. And I think right now we could cast a lot of wide nets through social media. You know, it's posting things on social media, event invites, things on your Insta story, right? Facebook updates and stuff like that. I don't know if any of you saw what Raf did in New Jersey, but I love how in his story today or yesterday, he shared about New Jersey campus midweeks and how he had been invited a bunch of times and didn't go, but how the people in this picture were strangers at one point, but now they're friends and some of the closest people in his life. You know, that's Raf casting a wide net. He's got a lot of Instagram followers, and now these people see this and go, huh, I wonder if I'd want to go to something like that. I wonder if I need people like that in my life. We got to cast a wide net. Sending invites to people in the online services, getting the word out about this Devo next Friday. So we got to cast a wide net. That's just throwing stuff out there, right? Like on Facebook, on Instagram, on right Snapchat, whatever. You're just throwing stuff out there. And maybe as you cast this wide net, it'll catch some fish in it, right? But probably the most important one of these four is customize your hook, right? There's fishing with a net, but then there's also fishing with a hook. And when you fish with a hook, there's thousands of different types of hooks and lures meant for different types of fish. And it's a lot more effective to catch the fish you're trying to catch if you use the specific hook and lure that is meant for that fish. And so the most effective way to evangelize a great door for effective work is this. It's more personal, interpersonal, connected conversation and evangelism, right? And so the way we do this, here's the difference, is you could go on Instagram and do this. I'm not saying don't do this. You can make a post on Facebook or Instagram that says, hey, what's up? If anybody has extra time and wants to get to know God better, hit me up. We can do a Bible study. Maybe somebody will see that and go, awesome, and respond. I don't know how many of you have done that. I would love to hear how many people have responded to you. But keep doing it, because for that one person that does, it's worth the post. But here's what customizing your hook looks like. It's opening up your Facebook friends list. It's going through your phone contacts. It's going through your Instagram followers and it's scrolling through and looking at people's names and saying, hey, I haven't talked to that guy from high school in a while. Hit call. And you say, dude, how are you doing? What have you been up to? You know, how are you doing with this coronavirus? Or maybe it's not a call. Maybe it's a text. Hey, man, it's been a long time. Maybe it's somebody from your class you haven't talked to. Maybe it's somebody you studied with last semester you haven't talked to. But it's, hey, how are you? How is your family? Anything I could pray for you about? You know what's really helping me during this time is my walk with God. Would you have any interest in me reading a scripture with you that helps me a lot right now? If you know somebody, they're not going to say, nah, man, I'm good. Maybe they will, but most people say, sure. So you might make this big post that's like, hit me up if interested, and nobody or one person says something, maybe. Or you go through 50 people, 100 people in your phone or Instagram. You're texting them, how are you? What can I pray for you about? You're getting into a conversation, and then you're bringing it to, hey, can I share a scripture with you? And trying to turn it into them studying the Bible, because you know that through studying the Bible, they'll find the life that is truly life that you have, that they need. The truth, the knowledge of truth that God wants them to have. Right? This can also apply to people in your house, right? The people you're living with right now, your family. I love hearing that Ugo in New Jersey was going for prayer walks with his family and doing stuff like that. Hey, mom, hey, dad, sibling, can I share with you something I read in my Bible this morning? Can we pray together this morning? Right? Really, really customizing your hook, going, how can I connect with this person and try to get through to them? You know, lastly, characterize as a fisherman, cast a wide net, customize your hook. And lastly, catch with your crew, right? You don't want to go fishing by yourself. And here's kind of your crew. First, God is your captain, right? As you're going on the mission, pray for the workers, pray for the harvest. Be praying, God, use me. Help me find someone open right now. Help me find someone I could lead to you right now. Really be led by the Spirit. Matthew 10:16-20 talks about how when the disciples were going to be brought before governors, which was not under a good situation, the Holy Spirit would give them what to say. So cast with your crew. Know that God is part of your crew. He's on the ship with you. He's in the boat with you. He's your captain. Pray to him and let his Spirit lead you on the mission work. But also work together with other people. Share good news. Share good ideas. Share what's working with each other, right? In text, group chats, whatever. Let's be encouraging and helping each other. Let's ask one another, hey, is there anybody you're studying the Bible with right now? Anybody that you could try to or that you could reach out to? And lastly is work with the leaders in your ministry. In Mark chapter 6, verse 30, Jesus sent out his 12 disciples. And then in Mark 6, verse 30, he calls them back and he has them report to him all that they did and taught. Right? You have leaders in your ministry that are there to prepare you for works of ministry, to help you to be effective. Right? We don't want to just be working, we want it to work. We want to be effective. So get advice from people. Say, hey, I had a conversation with my one friend from school or from high school. This is how it went. What would you say next? What do you think I should say to turn this into a Bible study? All right, I set up a Bible study. Could you help me with it? What should I look at with them? What should I do? Let your ministry leaders know about these conversations, know about these Bible studies so they could pray, so they could help you. Right? That's our role. We're called as leaders to govern diligently. We really want to be in there to shepherd and to help lead, not just the saved, but those who we're reaching out to. So catch with your crew. God, each other, and the leaders of your ministry are all on your team to help you with this. You know, these passages that I brought up, Matthew, Philippians, Corinthians, here's the thing. None of these passages paint an easy work environment. All of them. Paul's in prison. There are many who oppose me. You'll be brought before kings and rulers because they arrested you. Right? All of these situations where we're called to advance the gospel and be incredibly fruitful are not in situations where it seems like the stars have aligned. It's in situations where it doesn't seem like it should be a good time for things to work. And honestly, right now more than ever in my life, we're in one of those situations. Right? This is one of the toughest things I've ever seen the world go through. So instead of thinking now's not the time, we need to think now's the time to really kick it into gear. Now's the time to really engage the mission. Now's the time to really go after loving the lost and reaching out to people. Faith thrives in the fire. People's hearts soften, and then that's when God moves. This has happened throughout the whole Bible. This happened through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, even in more modern times. Even in our church fellowship, there have been times where it seemed like now is not when there should be explosive growth, but that's when there was explosive growth because people were faithful. And that's who we really need to be right now. You know, Jesus has a vision for this time. He wants to see many people saved. I believe a great door for effective work has opened, and we don't want to sit in our rooms and not go through that door. We want to reach out. We want to love people. We want to pray. We want to plan. We want to do something. Do something. You know, my vision, my call for each of us is that all of us would study the Bible with somebody in this month of April. That in the month of April, you would have a Zoom, phone call, FaceTime, some sort of Bible study with somebody. And if you want to take it even a step further, I go, God, you know what? You've got me more freed up than I've been in a long time. You've got other people more freed up. A great door for effective work has opened. I don't want to just study with somebody. I want to help someone become a Christian while we're in quarantine, right? I believe that if you have the faith that that can happen and you work at it, and you let the Spirit lead you, I believe it can totally, totally happen. And we can see a lot of people become Christians. I hope this was inspiring and helpful. A great door for effective work has been opened, brothers. Let's go through it. Let's make every use of this opportunity and see many other men take hold of the life that is truly life that we have as well. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and split us up.